Peter. Find your place there. We just sang a line that said, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And then it said, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Is that true? Amen. Is it biblical? How do you know? What's the Bible say about that? It's open book if you need to cheat. The question is, where does the Bible say, or what does the Bible say about nobody ever being able to pluck you out of God's hand? Anybody? Sorry, I didn't tell y'all there was going to be a quiz. That's all right. Does anybody know what it says? He says we're in his hand, and then he says we're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck us out. When you're in Jesus forever. Amen. No power of hell, no scheme of man. And I've had people tell me before, talked to a man one time, and he said, well, nobody can pluck you out, but you can pluck yourself out. And I was like, are you not a man? But you can't, no one can. When you trust in Christ, he holds you, the Father holds you, and you're his forever. It's in Christ alone. That was bonus material. Huh? What's that say? Sealed by the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. Amen. It's good. That was all bonus. It was for free. It's extra. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to pray, and we're going to read our text tonight. And I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mitchell to please lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. Please be seated. We just finished last week, if you weren't here and didn't know, we finished the letter of 1 Peter. And if you haven't been here in a while on Wednesdays and you didn't know, we've been studying for months about the life of Peter. And what we've been trying to learn about is how Peter moved by the grace of God from a fisherman to a fisher of men. Amen. The Lord delivered him from his life to being in a life of service to the Lord Jesus, and took him away from a life of fishing, and he made him a great man of God. Amen. And 1 Peter, really he's writing at a time of Nero's reign, probably around the early 60s AD. So AD 60 to 64 is that time that he writes 1 Peter, and he's really trying to encourage them to endure faithfully the trials that are coming at them. And Paul talked about that, the fears within and the fightings without, and how there was turmoil inside and outside. Well, Peter wrote that first letter to encourage the saints everywhere who were enduring persecution from outside. Now, it's been a while, and he's writing later now to warn them about danger inside the church. So before, he's talking about persecution outside. Now he's talking about corruption inside. And so you're talking about a time when Nero is coming to power, ramping up his persecution against Christians. I mean, I've told you about some of the horrific things that he did, unspeakable, unimaginable things he did to human beings because they believed in Jesus. And that's what's going on in the world. Now you have false teachers coming into the churches and are trying to tear them down from the inside out. And so there's turmoil inside, outside. False teachers are running rampant. A lot of crazy stuff's going on. And I want you to listen to how he starts this letter. Simon Peter. Simon was his name before Jesus gave him a new name. And he's holding on to that. And I think there's a little bit of humility here. He's still Simon and he's Peter. He's recognizing that he's still fighting a battle. There's still a war there. Remember, the Lord said, you're going to be Cephas. You're going to be a rock. Cephas is the Aramaic. Peter is the Greek. And so the Lord says, I'm giving you a new name. But Peter understood the battle between the old man and the new man. Amen. Didn't he? Amen. Yeah, you get to read his story. You get to hear about his greatest failures. Oh, that Peter, he sunk. He took his eyes off Jesus. What's wrong with him? He was the only one who got out of the boat. Right? Amen. That Peter, he's the one who denied Jesus 3 times. Yeah, and he went out and wept bitterly. He repented of his denial, and the Lord changed him when he repented. Changed him and transformed him. And so, yeah, he had some failures, but God used him in amazing and mighty ways. Amen. And God grew him up. And so you watch him grow. You watch him change. Now, he's writing this towards the end of his life, and he knows the end is coming. I don't know if you remember when we studied in John chapter 21, but the Lord told him, there's going to come a day, Peter, when men are going to carry you where you don't want to go. He was warning him that he was going to be crucified. And in 2 Peter 1:14, Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He's talking about his fleshly body. He calls it a tent. I'm going to get out of this tent. Jesus told me that was going to happen, and I know it's going to happen soon. And so he's nearing the end of his race, and he knows it. He knows his time is short. And so you're talking about an apostle of the Lord Jesus writing to saints in the midst of great persecution and trouble within the church. And he's saying, I want you to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus. This letter is a great letter to remind them of the truth, to warn them about the danger of false teachers, and to stir them up to stay faithful to Jesus as you look for him to come again. Amen. Now, this is written in the latter half of the first century. I don't know if you're aware of this, but that was a long, long, long time ago. Amen. And if it was important for them to keep their eyes on the sky waiting for Jesus to come back and to live faithful for the Lord Jesus until he comes back, how much more important is it for us? Amen. Amen. We just drove by a sign in town. Maybe you've seen it. It says, Jesus returns soon. We were driving through town, and I asked Melissa, I said, do you think that's true? She said, yeah, I think that's true. Jesus returns soon. Well, how do they know? How do the people who printed that sign and stuck it up know? How do they know? Well, listen, we're to live every day. Amen. Watching, ready, faithful, waiting, because the Lord is coming again. So Jesus takes Peter in his journey. Remember when he walks by the seashores of Galilee, Matthew 4, and he sees Simon and his brother Andrew casting nets, for they were fishermen, and he says to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So he takes him from the seashore, and he transforms his life. By the time you get to even early in Acts chapter 2, it's Peter who really takes charge, who sets out and leads, and he stands up and he preaches the gospel, and he encourages the people both inside the church and outside the church. And I'm just telling you that God took him from the seashore to being a great shepherd of the flock. And the Lord told him, feed my sheep, made him a great shepherd. So he had his failures. We talked about those. He fell, but he repented when he fell. You guys remember where Peter messed up, right? He messed up when he said, if even though everybody else would do that, I would never do that. You know a surefire way to end up doing something? To say, I would never do that. people sitting in this room right now, sometime in their life, said, I would never live in Oklahoma. I wish Nelson was here. He's on a work trip. But Nelson told me before they came here, he always swore Oklahoma was the one place he would never live. Would never live in Oklahoma. He's scared of our Naders. I like those Naders. I'm like, brother, let me tell you what you do in Oklahoma. When there's a tornado warning, you go outside and see if you can see it. That's what you do. Right? Stop mowing long enough to see if you can see the funnel cloud. Yeah. That's all good until it actually hits your house, and then it's not so funny anymore, right? Peter said, I'll never do that. Though everybody else denies you, I would never do that. And not only did he not deny him once, he did it three times. Amen. And I'm just telling you to be careful what you say. We learned so much from Peter, but what happened that night? When he denied the Lord the third time, remember he connected eyes with Jesus. And when he saw the Lord, it broke him. Amen. So if you've fallen short, if you've failed, like I have countless times in my life, what you need to do is look to Jesus. Amen. And he will break you. And that's good. Amen. It is good to be broken for your sin. Amen. And when you repent, he will restore you. And the Lord told Peter, he said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What happened was he was converted. He was changed from one thing into something else that night. Amen. He was completely transformed. God remade him that night. And he didn't remake him just for his own good. He remade him for the purpose of helping others. Amen. And that's what he did. And it was a long, hard fought process. But God used him in a great way. And I'm just trying to bring you up to speed. We walk through 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 1, he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And Peter was able to admonish those other elders to do that because he was that. He was living it out. Wasn't trying to tell them to do something he wasn't doing. So he was a great pastor, elder, leader. And so then he comes to this, and his burden in 2 Peter, and we'll walk through this over the next several weeks, but he wanted to remind them of the truth. He wanted to warn them of the danger of false teachers. He wanted to stir them up to holy living. And so we can really break it down into three parts. The three chapters break down pretty well like this. Chapter 1 is all about salvation. You can and must be sure of your salvation. Amen. Everybody with me right now? Amen. You can be and you must be sure of your salvation. Amen. There are so many people. I know a lot of you in the room like, amen, of course, obviously. But do you know how many people there are right here in Muldrow who don't believe that you can be sure of your salvation? They honestly believe, when I die, I'll find out. What a horrific way to live. What a terrifying way to live. Can you imagine that, Brother Tom? Laying down your head on your pillow every night going, I don't know if I die in my sleep. I don't know where I'm going to end up. And if that's you here in this room or that's you watching online, listen to me. You can know that you have eternal life. Amen. Amen. You can read 1 John. That letter was written for that purpose. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So you can have assurance. You can know that you have eternal life, and you must. You must be sure. You need to examine yourself whether you're in the faith. You need to be absolutely sure tonight that you're trusting in Christ alone. Amen. Listen to me. Not that you got baptized, not that you got catechized, not that you got confirmed, not that some preacher prayed for you, not that your grandmama prayed with you, that you have put your faith in Christ alone, personally. Amen. Well, my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. Hallelujah. I don't know how many people, like, what is, why? Okay. You guys know I love the question. If you died today and God were to judge you according to his commandments, his law, his word, if God said to you, why should I let you into my kingdom, what would you say? And I can't tell you how many times I've asked that question. What would you say if Jesus said, why should I let you into heaven? Well, my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. I suppose that would be highly effective, don't you think? Philip's like, well, my daddy was a Baptist preacher. It's not going to do you any good. Amen. I mean, I hope it did you good, right? But it's not the answer. Sometimes I ask that question and people give a very honest answer and they said, he shouldn't. He shouldn't let me into heaven. And that's true. Amen. But the only answer is Jesus. Amen. Now, you can say it a lot of different ways. You could say, well, I'm trusting in Jesus, or I was born again by faith in Jesus, or I'm trusting that Jesus has forgiven my sins. There's a lot of different ways to say it, but at the end of the day, it's Christ. Amen. And it's him alone. Amen. You can and you must know. You must know. I plead with you not to leave this room tonight unless you're absolutely certain that you're trusting in Christ alone. Amen. I am trusting in him. I believe that he is the Christ, Son of the living God. I believe that he died for my sins and rose again. I am trusting in him alone tonight. And if you're not, I got great news for you. You can stop listening to me right now and you can start talking to God right now. Amen. You can pray right now and ask him to forgive you. You can pray right now and ask him to save you. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation, chapter 1 is all about knowing. It's a lot there, but you can kind of take it as a whole. Salvation, be sure. Chapter 2 is really about corruption. So chapter 1, salvation, be sure. Chapter 2, corruption, be careful. Chapter 2 really deals with the false teachers, who they are, what's in store for them, and you need to watch out for them. You need to know the truth so you can recognize the lies. Know the truth so you recognize the lies. I know I've worn out the illustration. It's the best one I got. When you work at a bank or somewhere that deals with money, when they teach you to watch out for counterfeit, they don't teach you all about the different counterfeits. They have you handle real money so you can recognize the real thing. You ever watch those people count it? Right? And when they train you, they will eventually slip in false money. And you've handled the real thing so much that when you hit that wrong one, you go, Something's off there. I don't even know what it is. So you know the truth, so you can recognize the lie. So when you're driving down on the road and you're listening to the radio and you're listening to somebody preaching, you think, this is pretty good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Wait, what? What did they say? And you recognize that something's off. You may not even be sure what it is right away, but you're just like, nah, I don't think that's right. Amen. And then you can get in the Word and you can figure it out. So be careful. And then the chapter 3 is about glorification. And it's about being ready. Being ready. Be ready. We ought to live holy lives while we look for the coming of the Lord. Amen. I got great news for you, friends. Jesus is coming again. Right. Verse 4 we read. We'll cover verses 1 through 4 in depth, but just look at verse 4 again. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know what that means, friends? That means that you have exceeding great and precious promises. That's eternal life in Jesus. And he is going to change you from your fleshly nature, and he's going to give you his own nature. Amen. He's already clothed you with his righteousness, so you have freedom from sin, you're forgiven, you're justified, and you have a right standing with God. But one day, he's going to take away every trace of sin, every trace of corruption, every trace of rebellion, and you are going to be made perfectly like Amen. Jesus Amen. Because you're going to see him as he is. Amen. Oh, I long for the day. I was texting some brothers today and asking how I could pray for them, seeing how things were going. And one of them responded, and he basically just listed off sins he's struggling with. Pray for this, this, and this. You know, one day that's all going to be gone. Amen. Amen. One day I'm not going to have to ask Jesus to help me not to be angry without a cause. I'm not going to have to ask Jesus to help me to always tell the truth. I'm not going to have to ask Jesus to help me with any of the sins I struggle with. It's going to be gone. That day's coming. And this letter is going to point us to live for and long for that day as we look for his return. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to pray as we end our service tonight. And right where you're standing or wherever you're at online tonight, at home, wherever, you know, when we pray together corporately, whoever's praying out loud, obviously they're praying, but it's an opportunity for all of us to pray. I think sometimes we just kind of in the crowd and everybody else is praying, you're kind of just doing your own thing, but let me encourage you when we pray that you pray. So right now, you in your heart cry out to God. Maybe he's convicting you. Maybe you just want to rejoice in his goodness, whatever it is. Respond in faith and obedience tonight. Lord, I thank you for this time that we've got to come together to sing your praises and to share the things that we're thankful for, to share the burdens that are on our heart. We praise you for all the goodness that you've given us, that you've shown us, that you've made known to us, and all the goodness that we don't even see. God, you're so, so good to us. And I pray that you have been glorified in everything we've done here tonight. And I pray that if there's anyone hearing the message right now that has never been born again, that even now they would repent of their sin and unbelief, and they would trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for them and rose again. I pray that you'd help all of us to follow you. Lord, that you, by your grace and the power of your Spirit, would help us to walk in obedience. Lord, help us to look up, to be reminded every day that you're coming again. And because of that truth, that we'll live for you with all our hearts, we'll love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Please let your will be done in every life. Forgive our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.